Certainly it is good to be saved, and we have one to thank for that, God the Father, for His precious love and His wonderful gift, and for the community that He brought us into. We thank Him for that, for the large room and the wealthy place, for the fellowship of God's people, and just for all the love that He's bestowed upon us. I want to thank God this morning for His unspeakable, indescribable gifts and joys and riches that He's afforded every one of us. And I hope we all today feel rich, rich in the Lord, rich in His goodness, and rich in His mercies. This morning, I've been thinking a little bit for a few weeks, about this time that we're in right now, the coming together of God's people for what we call, the world calls, and sometimes we say it, church services. It's not entirely accurate. A time of public worship, a time of the saints, the people of God, coming together to blend their prayers, their love, their hearts, their spirit, their testimonies, a time of encouragement to one another, time of iron sharpening iron, a time of drawing from each other's well, a time from sharing from your table and each other's table, the things that the Lord has placed there. Thinking about our services on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, and whenever, we know that in the Old Testament, New Testament, early on, they met primarily in houses, I think. We don't have an exact pattern of when and how and all the exact ways of doing it. And I know the Lord didn't put that in there because what He wants us to meet in is the fellowship of His Spirit and allow His Spirit to have rule in our hearts and our order, and how we might assemble. Times and customs and populations dictate sometimes different approaches, different changes to take place, and just the actual logistics of something. That's not our burden. But when you study the Church of God, you'll find that there was a common need among them. You study in the Bible, you study through history, you study especially through the times of persecution and when the church was not enjoying political freedom, especially there was a tremendous need the people felt to come together. And they put forth a tremendous effort to do that, if we can believe history. They did it at great peril and great expense sometimes. I think about today and of probably all of the things that Brother Bob Salee taught us about the work in Africa that he and Brother Michael and some found was the hunger that there was for these people from another country to walk over 100 miles just to be in a Church of God, quote-unquote, service. People down through the ages have felt the hunger, the need of being together. And here we are in America, blessed, and I don't know how else to say it. Here we are in America with, really, truly, if we confess this morning, very few wants. Certainly very few needs. Opportunities galore. Comforts beyond estimation. Luxuries and freedoms and decisions that no one can really challenge. Thinking about us coming together. Is it precious to us? Is it worthwhile to us? Is it special to us? Would we walk 100 miles for it? Would we jeopardize our life for it? Would we give our home for it? Would you forfeit your job so you could be here? I know those are hypothetical in many ways. We probably won't be asked to do that. The name church denotes. We know Paul teaches and the Bible teaches that the church today is, quote unquote, the body of Christ. It is the men and women across the world that are saved. That's definitely what the church is. The word church means congregation. And I think this is where I'm coming from today. Church means congregation. It means an assembly. The word church, especially the New Testament, denotes people meeting together with a common interest and a common purpose. It also is defined as called out people, special people, people who feel a need not only to be part of the body of Christ, but to meet and assemble and congregate together. We could say we are the congregation of God. We are the assembly of God. Those would not be doing injustice to the word church. My point in mentioning that to us is the very definition speaks of assembly and coming together. To me, it's synonymous with the body of Christ. It's an inherent burden and desire to be with those who have enjoyed the blessing of being saved and called out. Over in Malachi, the fourth chapter in the first two verses, In Micah, the fourth chapter, the first two verses. And I'll preface this by saying, I want you to note some words here about coming together, assembly, a gathering, a uniting, and a flowing together. But in the last days, we believe that that's the gospel day. And in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. The law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, skip down to the sixth verse. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that is afflicted. The call of salvation was to go ye into all the world. Preach to the halt, the maimed, the sick. Heal, deliver. Preach salvation and deliverance of sin. Draw men to me. He said, if I be lifted up, in the sense, if I go through with this penalty of bearing your sins, and if I hang on that cross, through that I will be that Shiloh that was to come that will draw all men to him, to Christ. He is the king of the mountain, if you will, the mountain of the house of the Lord. He is the great I Am. He is the true God and the true king and the true leader of the church of God, the founder, if you will, the builder of the church of God. And he said that in that day, in the last days, in the days that were to come, that God's house would be established and men would begin to flow to it. What is the common denominator of flowing to the church of God? It's Jesus Christ. That is the point that we focus on. The law, there's doctrines in the church. There's gifts in the church. There's different aspects of the church. But the very focal point of the Church of God is Jesus Christ. And as we focus on that, as we are attracted to that, he said that it'll be established among the top of the mountains, and all the other fraternal organizations and philosophies of man, doctrines of men, there would be something outstanding happen. And there would be one named Jesus, and he would establish a kingdom, and it would be above everything else, and people would flow into it, and there would be an assembly. There would be a coming together. Now, I know I'm not taking liberties here, but at the same time, we can say that the assembly was to Christ and to the new birth, and that's all correct and probably the very foundation meaning here. But the bottom line is the Lord talks about coming together. The top of the mountain is a, if we visualized a mountain this morning, we would maybe visualize a peak that's standing, and then it'd be one mountain that would be more than any other standing out. And think about all the scattered people of the world. And then think about all the scattered people of Logan and Oklahoma County. Think about the Church of God and the saints of God. And we have assembled, or we have focused ourselves on serving the Lord. And we're drawn to Him. Consequently, as we're drawn to Christ, as you and me walk closer to and follow after and draw nearer to Him without any ability to prevent it, we are drawn closer and united more one to another. That's impossible for that not to happen. I'm thinking this morning as we consider our worship services that God is interested in assembling the people to Him, to Christ. And it said here that I will assemble and I will gather. God has gathered you from sin. God has gathered you from the wrongs of our lives. And that's a very special thing. It's so unique. And He established something in our hearts. I mentioned Shiloh a while ago. Over in the 49th chapter of Genesis, down a ways, Jacob was blessing his children. And when he came to Judah, he said, the law of the scepter shall not depart from Judah, from the lineage of Judah, till Shiloh come. Shiloh is here meaning the Messiah. And he said, and unto him, meaning Shiloh, shall there be a gathering of the people. God is gathering us to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now the word church means gathering, an assembling, a coming together for a specific purpose. Of the same mind. I'd like for you to go with me for a moment over into Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. You know, when we share something in common, Oklahoma Sooner football, I don't know, pretty trees, fishing, stock market, as we enjoy something specific, you know, we kind of seek out people that kind of like Oklahoma Sooner football or stock market, whatever. There's a zest in it, a zeal in it, and a joy in it that comes from sharing with those of like minds. And I'm thinking, I'll probably repeat myself some today, but I'm thinking about the redeemed of the Lord. We got something in common. Did you know if you're saved today, something grand happened to you? If you're a big Sooner fan, and they win or do win, or by chance win the national championship, in your mind something very good has happened. And you can't wait to find somebody that agrees with you so y'all can have a brag session. Fishing, making a little money and killing on the stock market, whatever. Seeing beautiful flowers. Something grand has happened to us, folks. We've been introduced to the Father through Jesus Christ, and we've been redeemed from our sins and washed in His blood and made joint heirs and a part of His body. And we're gathered to Jesus. We're gathered to Him who is the head of the church of the firstborn. Listen to what begins to happen. And I believe here's what I'm thinking right now. This is God's desire, not only His desire, His plan, and His expectations. And this is what He said in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake off one to another. Please understand this interaction, okay? Not getting over in the corner and say, the Lord's blessing me real good, and hum and chant. But an opportunity to share with someone who has experienced what you've experienced. Someone to explain to your joy, and they say, I know what you mean, and listen to this. And they that feared the Lord spake off one to another. And the Lord hearkened. The Lord heard it. Listen to him and him and him and him and her and them. They're talking about me and what I did for them. I'm going to come down there and I'm going to bless them. And the water of life is going to flow out of them. And they're going to be a blessing, not only to themselves, but I'm going to bless them to bless others. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name, upon his name. Think about that for a moment. They spake oft one to another. Back to the beginning, back to the persecution, back to the time of the Romans, back to the time of the Dark Ages, back to the different eras of time, back to Cuba, back to Russia, back to places where maybe some of the Muslim worlds today. How they would cherish our young brother today testified. Cherish this opportunity to come together and be with fellow believers, fellow Christians. Think about what the man that walked the two or three men that walked 100 miles. So important, so necessary, so vital to them. They hazard. Men have, down through the ages, I repeat myself, have hazarded much for the opportunity we have abundantly. I fear for us. That's my burden. I'm concerned about us. That we not let such a wonderful, grand, beautiful experience become mundane, optional. That it become less than special and honored and an opportunity to rejoice and draw from and receive from one another. Now, I don't fear for us in the sense that I don't respect you. I don't respect myself. I respect the devil too. In a terrible way. Over in Luke, the 24th chapter, Jesus had been crucified. A couple of men were walking on their way to Emmaus. Luke 24:13 and 14. So they had a lot to talk about. They probably were men of industry, maybe. Maybe they had families. Maybe they liked to throw the fishing nets out. But as they went on the way to Emmaus, the 14th verse, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. It was very important. Salvation, is it important to us? Is it worth to us the expense of doing all I can to encourage it in my soul? Is it vital enough that I don't want to lose it at any cost? Is it so important and beautiful and special that I want to take every opportunity I can to have it enhanced? And I think one way is coming together. congregating, assembling. Not to hear one man or one woman, but to allow the presence of the Lord to descend upon us and lead us. Grant unto us, which He does, and you and me experience it, the freedom of expression, of worship to God, however it may take. Over in Acts, the first chapter and the 14th verse, prior, I think, to Pentecost, 1 and 14 of Acts, it said, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." You know what Jesus told them before He left? "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." Stay there. Don't go anywhere. These men and women took it literally, and they found themselves a place, 120 plus, and they met there together in one accord. They had a purpose. Seeking direction, seeking strength, different things, seeking the promise of the Father, the power from on high. The Lord didn't say, "Go to your house and pray." The Lord didn't lead them to all go to the different streets in Jerusalem where they lived. He directed them to come together. Again, I am trying to emphasize coming together, the importance of it, the value of it. Acts, the second chapter, 44, it said, "And they all that believed were together and had things in common." You may think, and I may think today, that because of the times they were together. Granted, that was part of it. But I believe it was more than that. For the excitement and the joy and the hope, for the support they would gain. And then in the 46th verse of Acts 2 and 46, it said they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Again, a comforting and an encouragement to one another. A drawing from one another. A pouring out one to another. Acts 17 and 4. "And some of them believed." Acts 17 and 4. "And some of them believed, and they consorted with Paul and Silas." Or they associated themselves with Paul and Silas. My thinking here is our associations are vital, and we know this. Our children, we protected them from evil communication, associations. And yes, we have our discourse and conversation in a world that is sinful. How much more so do we need to value the opportunity of associating with kindred, with family, those who reinforce me, those who reinforce you, those that by their very life encourage me, press on, my brother, press on, my sister. You know, Satan would like to get you and me to have the Elijah complex. I'm the only one left. No, you're not the only one left. Come on Sundays. Come on Wednesday nights. Lord, help us to understand. You study the church, and even by the word church, the body itself, what is it made out of? Many members cooperating, functioning together, interacting, scratching where it itches. Getting the speck out of the eye. See what I'm saying? Complimenting one another. Said if the body was all you, where would the rest, where would the strength be? If the body was the eye, where's the hearing? By the word's definition, it is an assembly. It is a coming together. It is a congregating. Over in, over in Colossians, Let me read this one. Well, I think I have enough here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And why? One reason is that we're teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual song, singing in grace, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I pity the person that's independent. Because first of all, they're not. They're not. If a person thinks they're independent, then I would ask them, where's their gas well to propel their car down the road? Where's their ranch and their chicken farm that they eat fried chicken from? And on and on. Where's your clothing factory that you buy your shirt from? And where'd that money come from? Did you just go out and you need your customers? Pity the man, the woman who says, I don't need. The devil has worked a lie in that person's heart. Songwriter said we need each other. Admonishing one another. Who is it among us is so vain to think that they don't need admonished from time to time? And who better to admonish me? I'll take it. I may go to my closet, but I'll take it. Who better to encourage me? I want to go to the mall. Do I want to go to a ball game? That's happiness, maybe, as Sister Connie said. But I'm interested in joy of the Lord that's my strength. Who better to admonish and encourage me? Who better to speak spiritual things to me and to my children and my grandchild than you? Who better to consort with, to assemble with? Who better to spend my time with? Who better to eat the blessings of the Lord with? You're before me today. You're before me today. Satan hates that, saints. Listen to me. Satan hates that. And he will present to you the most innocent reasons why you're not here. Why you didn't assemble. Plausible. Spoke with someone recently. And we talked about the word objective with one's own self. God help us. Look at our thoughts, look at our meanings and our purposes objectively. Why do I really do what I do? Why do I really think what I think? Why do I really reason why I reason? There's a lot of growth in that if we do it in Christ. Admonishing, encouraging, speaking to one another. Listen to what he said, and this is kind of turning the thought here. Over in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I have a question to follow this up with. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Ephesians 4:1, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring, putting forth an effort, making an effort to keep that unity that's in the church of God, the Spirit of God. To keep that unity that has been bestowed upon us. Why? A lot of reasons, and that's my question. Why is this admonition from Paul, from God? Endeavoring? Many false spirits, many things can go on in this world. We have to put forth an effort to produce work. We have to put forth an effort to produce anything. Why did Paul say endeavoring to keep it? I want to talk about that a little bit. Hebrews 3:13. Because one, I believe because we're going to be tried on it. We're going to be tried on keeping unity of the Spirit of God. We're going to be tried when it comes to assembling ourselves together and exhorting and admonishing and praising God together. Ephesians 3 and 13, Hebrews 3 and 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want you to think about sin at the end of a path, at the end of a long road, perhaps. And I want you to think about a snare that's been laid at the beginning of that pathway. And that snare entraps you or me some way and turns us down that pathway. And that snare is enticing because it had our favorite food on it. That snare is enticing because it pleased the flesh. Eve looked on it and said, "Oh, it's good to eat." Look what happened down the pathway. Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That fruit was the enticement to begin the long journey into sin and all of its consequences. May we today recognize we need to exhort one another. That's what the Bible said. Come together to exhort. Offer up praise, thanksgiving. Why? Because there's a snare laid for your children, for your grandchildren. There's a snare laid for our hoary heads. There's a snare laid for the sick in body. Come this way. You don't need to be there today. And God has said, "Oh, when they get there tomorrow, I'm going to pour them out a blessing they can't contain." The devil comes along and says, "You need to do so and so. Your job is mighty important." God help us. The snare has been set. It's been cocked. And it wants to entrap us down a long road that ends in sin. The deceitfulness of sin, he said. We need to assemble to exhort one another. Are you immune from a trap? I'm not. Over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in the 15th verse, "See then that you walk circumspectly." This word means exactly, accurately, diligently. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Why assemble? Well, there's the deceitfulness of sin. And man, I don't want the trap to get me. And if my brother and my sister has got some insight from the Lord, and maybe I've been a little lazy on something, and the Lord gives them something to say, or they read in the Bible, and wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, because I don't want sin to reign in my mortal body. Why assemble together? Because the days are evil. The world is not going to feed you, young man, young lady, young parents. Don't you trust the Lord for your wisdom. Don't you trust the world for the things that's out there and the things that are out there. They're deceitful. The days are evil. So the Lord said that He wants us to come together. And right on down, He said, understand what the will of the Lord is in the 19th verse. Speaking to yourselves, and I don't believe this is chanting. I believe this is coming together and sharing. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming together, speaking one to another. I know this is somewhat redundant, but it's important because the days are evil. You know, you wouldn't think you'd have to explain that. It looks like we as people could just open our eyes and say, wow, the days are evil. But how often we can forget that. And we need the assembling, the encouragement, one of another. You remember over what he said in Timothy? Perilous times. Fearfully dangerous times. And men will be lovers of their own selves. They'll hate God. Another place in 2 Timothy, he talked about they'll heap together themselves, the 4th chapter, teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn from the truth, be turned to fables. You and me are surrounded by fables. Tales, tall tales. Mormonism. I'm not saying study it, but if you read about it, folks, that's a tall tale. There's probably more of them in America identifiable than there are of us. The days are evil. Televisions and entertainment promote every form of ungodliness. The days are evil. You go to a mall, the days are evil. Go to Walmart, the days are evil. Look at the magazine stand, the days are evil. We need a respite. We need a place of security. We need watchmen on the walls. We need one another. We need cleanliness and holiness and purity, and we need to see that in others. And you're not going to see it on the job, by and large. You're not going to see it doing what you want to do when you have an opportunity to be where God's people are. The days are evil, that's why. Amos, we read this last week, Amos 8, 11 through 12, said there's going to become a day, and the days will come when there will be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. And said that men and people will wander from sea to sea, and the young virgins and the young men, they shall faint for thirst. The strength of men will fail them. Famine, famine, famine. I'm not saying this because I'm here. I'm not saying this because I just necessarily believe it this way. But I believe the church of God is the reservoir of the truth on the earth, the pillar in the ground of the truth. And to the best of my knowledge, and I hope I'm obeying my own thought of being objective, I believe we have the greatest concentration of truth. I'm not going to tell you there's not other saved people. I know there are, and I know there's other people that have truth. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, as far as I can see, we have the greater concentration of it. Brother Tony told us, he said, I see people there living it, exemplifying it, enjoying it. We need that from one another. We need to be in that company. Brother, if he gets this, I hope you excuse me, Brother Tony. But listen, the man searched for years in Babylon. God help us to have a measure of His joy at what He found. Because some of us have been around 30 years or more. And that's good. But oh God, help us to stir up that gift. Stir up that joy. Stir up that vision. Stir up that need. Stir up that recognition. Because folks, right out the door there is a famine of the Word of God. And we need, to that degree, to meet together. And I know, don't come to me later and say, God gives me everything. Yes, God gives us everything. But don't be vain in thinking that God's got a pipeline to you and He gives you everything. No, He gives you something to give me. And our experiences teach us. Therefore, we share experiences. Then I'm raising my children, or you're raising yours, and that same thing happens. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Somebody's already, praise the Lord, this is, Let's go on, I know times. But it said they'll wander from side to side, sea to sea, rather. Get to the scripture probably I've been trying to get to. Hebrews 10. Somebody was anointed of the Lord. Hebrews 10 and 23. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Excuse me. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The command, the exhortation, the teaching. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. I'm not getting into excuses or reasons. You know, a couple of Sundays ago, I wasn't here either. Here's what he said, not forsaken. That's a deliberate act on my part, purposely, willing to do it. I want to tell you something. Last Sunday was 2 weeks ago, a little testimony. We were over southeastern Oklahoma. We got the phone book down. We drove all over the community, big size area, looking for a place to go to worship. Had a criteria. We didn't want to just go anywhere. But we wanted to go where, and didn't find any place. Now, I'm not saying they weren't there. I'm just saying we didn't find a place. And that day was different. That Sunday was just, we had worship, prayed, read the Bible, but that day was different, and it wasn't just habit. I missed you. God help us. Saints, get a hold of this. This is not because Brother Stanley's saying it. I fear for us. Not you. I'm not speaking to you particularly. I'm saying for the church, for the people. That we forget the sacrifice that's been made for us. And we become to look at church as a common thing, as a usual thing. Not a special time. And instead of bringing something, I just go and say, I'm going to pay my obligation by being there. Instead of not only bringing yourself and our presence there, but bringing a gift from God to everyone else. A song, a prayer, thanksgiving. Just an entering into His gates with an expectation of worship to God. I know you can say we worship God. I know we do. We worship Him everywhere. We're talking about a special time. And He said, because the days are evil, because there's a famine in the land, because it's perilous times, and because of the deceitfulness of sin, don't forsake this opportunity. Make it paramount in your life. Well, Peter said that he wanted to stir up their minds because in the last days there's going to be scoffers. And they're going to say, where is the day of the Lord? It's always been this way. He told us that the Lord wasn't slack concerning His promise, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. One day God's going to come. I want to be ready, don't you? Part of my preparation is being here. Now we can say various reasons. Part of my preparation for that great day of the Lord is me being here. Because God said it. The church has done it all through the history. Every time they got a chance, I believe. And they did it at peril, they did it at price. They did it because they wanted to. They did it because the Lord told them to. They did it because they enjoyed it. They did it because all around them was the Romans and the Greeks and all those heathens. And they needed the refreshment of the cool water of the Spirit of God flowing out of one another and touching and washing and blessing one another. They needed that. I need it too. And I'll be bold enough to say, you need it. The days are evil. The writer of Hebrews said, as we see the day approaching. I cannot get into the writer's mind entirely on that one. The end of the world? Perhaps. Could it also mean the evil and the perilous times? Could it mean that too? I'm going to take it that way for this time. And you look around you, folks. Look around you. As you see the city of God, as He talked about in the last part of Revelations, encompassed about with all the old dragons and all the old false prophets and all the evils and the things of the world. He said, Zion, the camp of the saints, was encompassed about. Don't we need this time together? I do. Don't we need this sharing? And, you know, it's not for the preacher. It's not for the song leader to have everything. Nothing wrong with preaching. God ordained it. That's part of it. That's part of it. Singing. Beautiful, wonderful. That's part of it. Contribution of attention. The contribution of worship. Punctuality. I'm remarkable at us. Come service time. Be admonished in the name of the Lord. It's remarkable how late we can be. Something to think about. That makes a statement. You can read what you want to in it, I guess. It makes a statement of what's important and what's valuable. It really does. Services run a little late. I don't have any control of it. I have to guess. I do sometimes. I can sit down. Services run a little late. Lord's blessing. 12 o'clock. Did God quit blessing at 12? I don't know. Maybe He quit. You know, He might have quit at 11:30 when I got up here. I hope He didn't, but. Did God quit at 12? Did the Spirit say, it's noon, I got to go, guys. Please, I don't want to sound too loud about this. Forgive me for that. Come to worship God. Got something else I need to do. Forsake not to assemble yourselves together. That company. I know I'm getting close. If the company don't want to come to service, be nice to them and say, here's the comfort of my home. And we'll be back as soon as service is over with. Now, I'm going to get myself in trouble because I know there's exceptions there. So please don't. No. Think about it. The man walked 100 miles to see the American that was bringing the gospel. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. Something to think about. Punctuality makes a statement, or a lack of punctuality makes a statement. So what did Peter write? Stir it up. Been granted to you and me the gift of life. Stir it up. God's blessed us. Stir it up. Count it important. God has called us to be living sacrifices. Stir it up. God has said, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Stir it up. Pray. Stir it up. If one's speaking and God gives something to someone else, let the first hold his peace. Stir it up. Please, God, help us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So important. The history of the church is coming together. First to Christ, and by nature of that, to one another. Giving, sharing, exhorting, feeding, crying, laughing with one another, rejoicing, taking one another and saying, brother, I have something to speak with you about. Something's troubling me and God is troubling my spirit. Saints, don't cross your arms if your brother or sister comes to you. Listen. And if it's from God, and you'll know it, really. We know it. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Stir up our pure minds in 2 Peter 3. Because the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. Whoosh! But I was going to church next week, Lord. I was going to testify. Again, I don't want to get trivial. Last scripture this morning is in Mark, I believe. Yes, Mark 13, 32 through 37. To highlight it, Jesus said, take heed, watch, and pray. For you know not when. We don't know when the time is coming. The Lord, I am convinced, in the end of Matthew and Mark, there's a parallel between the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of time. And they're interwoven in those stories. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it is. Watch you therefore, he said, lest that thing coming unexpectedly find you asleep. Stir up! Stir up. And what I say unto you, Jesus said this, what I say unto you, I say unto all. I'm not bold enough this morning because I really want to cry out, watch, real loud. You know, when someone's fixing to step out in front of a dangerous situation, our child, watch out. Watch out! Be careful. Because the devil, your enemy, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And I know church services, worship services, are not the only place. Watch out. Watch out. It's a concern I have for myself, concern I have for you, concern I have for God, his people. But it's not my burden, it's God's. Evidently a long time ago, there's nothing I preach that hadn't ever been preached before. Hebrews has already preached it. On through the Bible, it's already been taught. God help us to enjoy this time together. And I don't know about you. Well, you probably know more about me. My nature, personality, is I can't be a passive bystander. I just, you know, if we're in a cooking class, I'm trying to add a little salt. You know, whatever. Just the way I am, I know that. And I'm not trying to make you like me. But here's what I'm saying. Put something in it. Put something in. I'm not telling you to testify. I'm not telling you to pray. I'm not telling you to sing a song. I am not telling you what. I'm just saying, put something in it. It can be my attention, my thirst, my hunger, my ears, my desire. They may never manifest themselves. I'm not telling someone that's quiet by nature, God's going to make you shout whether you want to or not. I'm not saying that at all. Rocks are pretty quiet, you know. But they're rocks. So that's not my point. The point is, bring one God with you. Bring a zeal and a desire. And oh, they was on the road to Emmaus and they couldn't quit talking about it. He said, these will be mine because they spake oft. They come together and they consorted and they assembled together and they met from house to house, breaking the bread. They walked 100 miles to Malawi. Because they were hungry. They had in their hearts a desire. That's the word. Bring a desire. Cultivate that desire. Feed that desire. Ask God to stir up that desire. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Pray for me.